All right. So now is the time that you write the workshop with us, that you put it together with us. Now we would like to address things of interest to you, perhaps ideas that came to you or questions, curiosities that came to you upon listening to what we have said so far. Questions about the adult, the experience of the adult. So who would like to ask a question? Who would like to begin?
My name is Tony.
Hello.
Hello. Living as the empowered spiritual adult, moment by moment, living, expressing, experiencing power, love, freedom, safety. Is it ever accomplished? 100%.
All right. This is not an accomplishment. So, no, it's never accomplished. It's all part of a divine flow, getting greater and greater and greater. Because, you see, even once you realize that you're divine, you only realize it to a certain level. Even if you're in ecstatic bliss 24/7 because of your acknowledgement of the divine, there's still so much more. So you can say anywhere, you can stop anywhere and say, I've accomplished to here. And it's often very good to do so, to acknowledge yourself for the distance that you've traveled, for what you have learned and what you have experienced, and how much more loving you are than you were only 2 or 3 years ago, or maybe even 6 months ago. It is always good to acknowledge. But no, there is no end to the love. The divine, God, God is all that is what we call the divine. The divine is always expanding and growing themselves. You see, God, God is all that is always being more loving, discovering more creativity, discovering more of themselves. You would think that there would be a kind of a static place and that someday you would get to God and you'd say, okay, I made it. But you see, it doesn't work like that because the universe is continuously, spiritually speaking, expanding. Now, your scientists talk about the Big Bang and how your physical universe is continuously expanding. They also talk about that at some point it will stop expanding and it will start shrinking back. And yes, on the physical level that happens. That is a cycle. In the Eastern culture, it's called a day of Brahma. Right? It's a kind of a universe is expanded and then it collapses upon itself, only to spawn yet another greater universe, which collapses on itself, only to spawn even more. And there is an infinite number of universes. So there is no place at which you will feel that you have reached there. There is no goal to reach. However, we want to point out how much you've already achieved and how much more you will achieve. Now, there is a certain spin on the word achievement that must be taken with great care and consideration. Because, you see, if you interpret achievement as a child, from the child's perspective, you want to please the parents and get goodies. Right? If you achieve as an adolescent, you want approval and people to admire you. And to want to be with you, to be excited about you. If you achieve as a young adult, you want people to recognize your perfection. You want to be perhaps famous, or if you're not famous, you want to be finally safe, finally in your ideal lifestyle, finally rich, right? What is the old thing that people say? Well, if you're so smart, why aren't you rich? So people link up achievement with accomplishing money, accomplishing having the right mate, having overcoming some obstacles, So achievement has a very, what you might say, a charge to it. There's a burden to it. There's a load to the word in the interpretation of most people. But when you're in the empowered adult, the term achievement is relative, but nevertheless very satisfying, because every achievement you make as a spiritual adult builds a sense of esteem and confidence for you, builds a sense of recognition that you have learned something, integrated it, used it, and stepped forth on a higher level than you were before. It feels good. You feel more loving. You feel more empowered. You approve of yourself more. So think of achievement from an empowered adult perspective as being a pausing step along the way of acknowledgement of some good, juicy, empowering, loving, freeing, safe thing that you've done for yourself.
Thank you.
All of you, yes, you're certainly welcome. All of you, just think for a moment. There's something that you have achieved, that you have enjoyed, and you've really felt good about yourself for that achievement. Think of it. There is an achievement that you have made that was not an achievement meant for other people's approval, for other people to give you power, or other people to give you money or whatever it is. It's an achievement that may be just within your own spirit. It was a way that you valued yourself more, that you learned. How good and solid that feels. Because if you achieve for others, from the child, adolescent, or young adult perspective, that achievement, once it comes, will be hollow, empty. It'll be a hit for a moment, and you'll go right back to feeling insecure and needing to achieve more. Achievement has been intertwined with judgment, criticism, shame, failure, or fear of failure, visibility, or fear of visibility. So recognize that achievement can be a beautiful, wonderful, free, loving, safe thing as well. Yes, thank you so much for that question.
I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
Evolving and achieving a state of beingness as a spiritual adult, is it coming to a place of total relinquishment of the child and the adolescent and the young adult?
No, you do not relinquish the child, adolescent, or young adult completely. What you relinquish are the distortions, are the illusions. Now, of course, we've talked about the whole reality being an illusion, a playground, and so on. But when you buy into that illusion as real, and that illusion comes to you in distorted ways, for example, from your parents or older siblings or older children or teachers or whoever, those distortions get anchored into you. So when we talk about child, adolescent, and young adult situation, we're talking about the distortions, the distorted patterns, the distortions of motivation, the reasons why children, adolescents, and young adults feel and act the way they do, what moves them to do what they do, and why do they react that way. The social consensus, the culture, has set aside certain parameters that are twisted and distorted by shame. Shame, which is the ultimate feeling or belief that you are not divine, that you're some kind of unworthy scumbag, and that you have to kind of whip yourself into shape to get some approval. So we would suggest that what happens is that as you heal and lift out of child, adolescent, young adult, and move into the spiritual adult, what you will find is that you will integrate into you. You will integrate the positive aspects that most people, they see it, but they don't generally live in alignment with the freeing, loving, empowering and safe aspects of the inner child, the inner adolescent, and the young adult. Because what you end up working with so much is busting free of the limitations that are there. You sometimes forget how joyful a child can be in their innocence and how they can play and imagine, right? And so you want that aspect within yourself. Indeed, it is part of you, but it is a healthy part. And in adolescence is a time that a person can develop an ability that develops the focus and the passion for something. Your interests show up in adolescence. And you can be intrigued and you can be engaged in some kind of interest, some kind of focus, and really work at it, like playing a musical instrument or studying a topic that's a fascination to you. Young adult has positive benefits. They can dream and imagine way, way beyond what is available. They can stretch for the ideal. What great dreamers young adults are. If you want to imagine and dream something and make and put together a vision for yourself, you definitely want the positive young adult on your side. The negative young adult will trap you in fantasy land. But the positive one has such gifts. So what will happen as you move into the empowered adult in your daily life, you will have free access to the positive gifts of child, adolescent, and young adult. We had a friend who expressed her concern that by doing processes of to heal the child, adolescent, and young adult and to, in a sense, give them what they need and get them out of the way, so to speak, that she was losing connection with them because she was bonding with them through their mutual sense of remembered pain, suffering. But your child is so much more than pain and suffering. But many times when people access their inner child, they go back to the wounded one, not to the playful one, not to the innocent, bright, smart, free one. You understand? All right. So you'll integrate all of those pieces into your empowered adult. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. That was a very, very good question. We're very glad you asked that one.
Thank you. Hi, Sandra.
Hello.
Hello. I had a question to ask you about loving yourself and being safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can feel resistance to going to that place. Because, in part because I feel like when it's safe and love, it's boring. Do you know what I mean? There's some kind of oh, then we've experienced it all. Because if you truly are safe, where's the excitement or where's the unknowing aspect that also gives, almost like, the inspiring part, I can't quite reach
mm-hmm.
it, but there's something like that, that I actively resist that, but then, of course, then I experience all the things that come from mm-hmm. not loving yourself in a safe way.
All right. This, too, is a very good question. Thank you. Well, this is the fear, we would say the greatest fear, in a sense, of the adolescent. Is that life is going to be boring. Because the adolescent, if you remember from your own experience, is just bursting with hormones. Right? And those hormones really motivate you to go into passion and to the thrill of things and to adventure and to explore and to take risks and do dramatic, exciting things with a tremendous intensity, black and white, intense, up and down. Oh my, roller coaster. And it's all a thrilling ride. And you think, oh, well, if I'm in the adult and I don't go there, how boring is the adult going to be? Well, you see, the thrill of the ride was part of the imbalance of the adolescent. What if you could have all the passion, all the life, all the enthusiasm, all the imagination, and all the exploration without the extreme highs, those manic highs, and the crashes down there below?
Right.
You see, what if you felt safe that you could explore intimacy at a greater level than you ever have before? Most people are very afraid of intimacy. Now, the channel and Daniel have been married for how many years now? 28 years, all right? They're still finding ways to become more intimate. Right? They have still gone through intimacy crises. Okay? There is, as we were saying earlier, in an earlier question, that there is no end to love. What you felt as the great thrill ride of adolescence and the great thrills of the imaginations and the great dreams and the fantasies of the young adult, without all the crappy stuff, can come without spiritual adult. The safety of the spiritual adult is the knowing that even if something that seems to be challenging and painful should come up, that he or she is resourceful, empowered, safe, and free to change things, to lift beyond, to heal, to create something more fun. You see, one of the aspects of adult freedom, true adult freedom, is that they have a heck of a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, society tends to look at adults as being staid, consistent, boring, and responsibility is okay, we work, we pay the bills on time. Now, ho-hub. All right. And their relationship, the marriage, ho-hub. But you know, that's not really the way it is. That's a imagined, superimposed picture put on what an adult is based on what a child or an adolescent or a young adult put on adults that they saw that were stuck in little tight limiting boxes and thought, well, I guess that's where I'm heading. Please, I don't want to go there. No, I want to stay where it's exciting and fun. Because they had an idea that fun was an irresponsible place. In order to have fun, oh, let's just get drunk and go drive the car around real crazy. Have unprotected sex. You know, that's adolescent idea. All right? So what you want to do is have a true adult idea of what fun can be. So what is fun to you? So some people, fun is an escape from drudgery and dreary, serious, hard work and stuff. For some people, fun is an escape from a boring marriage by looking for an affair. For some, fun is about taking the hard-earned money, buying your boat, and going out every weekend on the lake with a six-pack of beer, right? Everyone has their definitions of fun. An adult's definition of fun is to find the humor inherent in every life situation. To play with the innocence of the child, but the responsibility and empowerment of a reality creator. Fun then becomes very multifaceted, multidimensional, multi-layered. And in that fun is a tremendous amount of celebration, sharing with others, sharing joy with others. And the safety comes more in relationships and situations. We're going to talk more about this later. As feeling safe, regardless of what other people do or say. What if You didn't take anything personally. Think about how much more imagination, how much more exploration, how much more play it could be. Your consensus culture, in the media and particularly, in novels and movies and TV shows and things like that, always seem to have the protagonist, which is the lead character. And the character development of the story generally involves a story question. The story question is, how will the protagonist overcome the challenging and threatening circumstances that keep them from their happiness? Right? Now, in every story, there is antagonist, the villain, whoever it is that brings up the limitation, whoever it is that stimulates or triggers the mountain over which the protagonist must climb to be victorious, and as the plot reaches some kind of climax, reaches a pinnacle of awareness and awakening, and from there, all the plot pieces weave themselves and resolve themselves to the happily ever after, or else the state of being beyond the obstacle, to the happiness or to the flow. But, dear one, that's where the story ends, in the consensus. For you, your story is just beginning. There is so much more. Just as we said, God, Goddess, all that is continuously expanding and growing and becoming more and discovering more and creating more and exploring more. And so are you. So there's never be a time when you're a spiritual adult that you will be bored. You'll never be angry, feeling powerless and frustrated. You'll never be impatient with yourself. Why? Because you're empowered to change anything you don't like and to dream whatever you do like. If you feel limited in your imagination, you can think, well, I'll only be able to imagine up so high, and then I won't be able to imagine further than that. I'll get everything that my young adult says I should get in order to be happy. The right house, the right mate, the right job, the right, health, the right vacation, the right this, the right that. As soon as I have all of that lined up, life will be great. Then the story ends. The young adult cannot go past the perfection. That's the perfection. If we were just there, everything would be fabulous. But behind it is a tremendous fear. What if? What if I reach there and it is still not enough? What if I try to go there and I fail? What if? You see? And so your what if is, what if I finally make it and I'm disappointed because it's bland, because it's too consistent? Right. Yeah, the spiritual adult is not consistent. That's a virtue of the consensus. And so the consensus sees that adults should be consistent. And that's an aspect of responsibility, supposedly. It's not. Responsibility is the ability to respond in every kind of situation from your place of your positive assessor. So it can change. There's no consistency except in the knowing of who you are. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. So when you think about being safe and that it's boring, you may be back in childhood. Because safety for a child is maybe being held and by a loving parent. And there's nothing that you have to achieve anymore. You're okay. You're finally loved. Now that's what the child wants. But the child cannot dream past it. You see, there's limitations inherent in all the dreamings and the imaginings and the definitions of your life. That's why it's so outstanding to step into your power, to your imagination, that you're free to develop and explore. And if you feel short on imagination, and yet you're in your spiritual adult and you're in that state, believe us, your reality will provide you with every opportunity to be thoroughly entertained. After all, life is pretty crazy, isn't it? Think about it. It's pretty wild and out there, right? There's everything you can possibly imagine going on right at this very moment across your planet. People are thinking up weird stuff. People are strange. They're into, you know, and you know, when you look on the internet, there are blog sites for specific little target markets. And then here, you know, like, for example, people are really into something like doll collecting, right? Well, that's just a small little group of people, but they can go there and they can talk about it with each other. And then over here, there's people who are on the internet who are going and playing in virtual worlds. They're creating personalities and characters and interfacing with others in a virtual world, in an imaginary world created online. What is a better reflection of what's really going on in your reality than that? Except that you provide the backdrop as well. Not just the character that you are. You're providing the whole backdrop. This is, if you see this whole life as a virtual world, your imagination knows no limits. And if you do it with responsibility and love, it's outstanding what magic can happen. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Can you feel a little bit safer now about allowing yourself to go into the safety of love?
Yes.
Because somewhere in there will be a transcendence to a whole other level of experience. All right. Thank you very much. Who else? Who's next?
Hello. My name is Yang, and I'm Sandra's mother.
Welcome.
I'm so glad that I could visit your house. I feel like I'm in the almost near heaven.
Yes, you are.
And I also find out that you have many, many crystals, different color, shape, size. And I wonder what this crystal does with you, with us, and the visitors, and relates this lecture.
All right.
And my other last, just what can I say? Kind of one thing is, you know, if you have a big pot of a coffee pot and people put the money, we can have coffee anytime, and then lunchtime, that would be nice to me, to people who have coffee drink. That's my just.
All right. All right. Thank you, dear one. The crystals. Well, there's a certain segment of people on their spiritual journey, a certain group, they feel attracted to the mineral kingdom, to working with the mineral kingdom. You may be acquainted with certain traditions known as shamanistic or natural, maybe even pagan, part of traditions of connecting with power animals, with plants on a spirit plant medicine, using herbs as medicine, the frequencies of nature. And a certain few, relatively, find a connection with the mineral kingdom, with certain types of stones, with certain minerals, with certain rocks. The quartz crystal, which is the one that you see the most, can be used to amplify and to direct energy of the will of the adult. It can be used just as a spirit helper, as a co-creator, to work with energy, to move energy. Because you see, crystals are not totally inert, dead nothing. Except to people who espouse a so-called scientific point of view. But to a mystic, to someone who is open to all that that is called the supernatural, but is actually really the more natural, crystals are friends, companions. They are co-workers. They can uplift you, remind you of who you are. They can help you manifest things in your life. If you work with them in a partnership, in an empowered way, you can heal them and they can heal you. You can create something together. You can work with attuning frequencies in your world. They are, you might say, tools of magic. So you may want to play with them, to explore how to work with them. If you do it responsibly, in your power, with love, the crystals will respond in kind. They're not going to give you anything that you are not willing to give to. If you think of them as inert, they will be. It's your reality. So it's up to you. If you are attracted to crystals' beauty, that beauty may uplift you. If you are attracted to the feel that you get when you're around them, that energy, that humming, that sparkly kind of energy can get inside of you, can stimulate imagination and dreaming and envisioning of your future. So we suggest, from an empowered, free, loving, and safe place, select just what intuitively comes to you. You see, the spiritual adult is filled with intuition because his or her universe speaks in omens, messages, symbols. Everything has information. And if you can open to that idea, you can touch a crystal and you can find it stimulate some aspect of you or lift you, or you feel some healing going on, some energy going on in your body. Every crystal has its own specialties. But quartz seems to have a really very high capacity to give and receive kind of a physioelectric frequency which can work in the etheric. The etheric is that which is the precursor to the physical. Everyone has an etheric body, which is part of the aura, the energy body around the physical body. And that is the part of you that interacts with crystals. And if you can be open to that, it can be the most natural thing in the world. If you do not feel attracted to crystals except that they're pretty, that may be all you need, is an uplift of beauty. And you may not be attracted to crystals at all. And there's no bad thing about that either. No judgment there. You'll be attracted to something else. You see, does that make sense to you?
I just wonder then, you know, crystal chandelier, it's just only for the beauty and uplifting? Or?
Right. Well, crystals that are used in a chandelier are actually glass. Oh. They're not really glass with lead in there. They're really not, they're called lead crystal, but they're not a raw crystal. Raw crystal is what you see of these quartz crystals. These are called raw, or they're polished crystals, but they're not lead glass. They're not to be used for chandeliers. You understand?
Yes. But what about little necklace people?
Well, it depends on whether you actually use natural crystals or you use the lead glass type or, you know, a lot of beads are like glass beads and they sparkle and they look pretty. But you see a diamond, there's a difference between a diamond, which is a natural stone, which is polished and faceted in a certain way, and what they have a lot of imitation diamonds that are made from various glass and lead and polished and faceted similarly, and they can be just about as brilliant, but they don't have the same frequency. They're imitations. And they don't, of course, they won't cost as much. You see? So, because the energy of the real, true, raw, crystalline nature has the essence, has the beauty and the value and the exquisiteness of it. You see?
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear one. All right. Another question?
Yeah. I'm David.
Hello.
Hello. You mentioned about protagonists and antagonists, and my question was about, from your perspective regarding energies that seem to show up, I guess I want to ask, and I wrote something here, entities or energies, are there specific entities or energies working to inhibit or working to, you know, distract or create barriers to spiritual development for either individuals or society? And I guess if so, or are they simply some kind of reflection of what we're holding inside, or maybe a combination thereof?
All right. Well, if you look at challenges from a child's point of view, you don't feel powerful enough to address them. You feel maybe persecuted. You maybe feel victimized by these energies, by these people. You may see them as dark energies you cannot counteract. You don't know how to counteract. If you're an adolescent and you see them, you can get into all sorts of what we call conspiracy theories, putting projections on their intentions to harm. Generally, the most nefarious villains on the planet, the ones who seem to have more fingers pointed at them, bad, this one's bad, this is evil, generally is just doing it from a point of view of insecurity, to control and to get approval. And that approval can come in terms of just money sometimes. Sometimes it needs to be power over other people so that they can feel an illusion of safety. So the motivations of other people who are appearing negative, restrictive, or persecuting you in your reality, for example, are generally people who themselves are showing the twists and distortions of their own shame. A lot of the horrible, most horrible things that are being done to people on the planet is strictly for money. And they don't think beyond that. They don't think of the impact because they're not responsible. They're not fully empowered. They're feeling insecure. And in order to feel powerful, they need more money and more money. And they love the manipulation. They love to feel powerful. It's been actually promoted in what we would call the male chauvinistic matrix, which is tremendously suffocating and burdensome to men everywhere. What it means that there is, once a person, a man, is twisted into this shame, then the only way to redeem himself, or the only way to step beyond it fully and completely, and to feel totally safe from feeling the judgment and the inner unworthiness and inadequacy and failure, is to put on the success mantle of society, which is generally one or two dimensional. And in that, to make more money, and yet more money, and yet more money. One of the situations with various people who are really rich, who haven't really gotten to the place of growing up and enjoying it, but always pressured from behind to get more of it, they will collude with others to create cartels. They can be violent as well as manipulative. Everything for money, as if money is the only thing. If they feel if they could just get enough money, if they get all the money, if they're totally secure, they'll be okay. So recognize that they are not doing it deliberately to target people. They only target people who threaten their security, threaten their pathway of redemption, threaten their status as master of the world, which every 9 to 10 year old boy is fed in order to push him to become an achiever. So if you can understand that, then you can understand that everything reflected to you that seems to be negative, personally or globally or nationally or regionally, is indeed reflections of you. Now, when you're a child, adolescent, or young adult, you can blame them for hardship in your life. You can fear them and what power that they have over you and the world. But when you step into the empowered adult, your response is going to be entirely different. You're going to understand that they are unconscious. They are running blind. Blind with shame. Trying to overcome the pain. Trying to someday get safe. Someday to feel free, safe, powerful and loved. They're looking for it. They don't know how to get there. They don't realize it's a state of being inside. They think it's something they can achieve or accomplish. And they feel that the only way they can do that, because they see their reality as being terribly unsafe, is that they've got to be one up. They've got to take control of others, manipulate others, or else there's no chance. They've got to take others before others take them. It's a philosophy of life. It's devastating to everyone. It's painful to everyone, including them. They don't know because they're running fast and furious ahead of the reaper, ahead of the judgment. How painful it is. They're numbing out to it. So therefore, they do not see the impact of what they do. So you, when that comes to you, as an adult, you want to accept that this is feedback from your reality to you. Now, you may not initially be able to shift and make changes out in the outer world, but in your personal life, as you develop freedom and safety and power and love, you'll find that the people that come into your life, the toxic people, you don't pick up their stuff. You don't get overwhelmed by them. You don't get manipulated by them. You're never a sucker, never a victim by them. Because you retain your power. You don't give power away to them just because they seem to be manipulative and controlling. It's like water off a duck's back. You recognize that's what they're playing. And the question you ask, because it's a feedback to you from your reality, is where in you do you still manipulate, control, dominate? Where in you do you not feel safe? Where in you do you not love yourself? Where in you are you holding toxicity, negativity? And so it can be very much a very strong awakening experience for an adult to understand that everything that comes to you can be looked at from a perspective of love and compassion. What would it feel like to feel compassion for the heads of the Colombian drug cartel rather than judgment? Because you see, they're out there running from judgment and shame. And the way they do it is get guns and silence the resistors, those who could call them. They hide behind their violence. They manipulate and control. What if? Where in your life are you violent? You may say, no, I'm a very peace-loving person. But where do you get defensive? Where do you take things personally? Where do you feel picked on and you pick on others? Where do you criticize and judge others? If you release that in yourself and look in the eyes of compassion upon them, then what is amazing is that an awareness will grow on what you can do as an empowered adult to change your life, to change the lives of those people who are interfacing with you, who are in so much pain and want to dump it on you. And that, like a ripple effect, it can move away from you to others who touch others, who touch others, who touch others, who touch others. It's part of your mission you came to do. But you can only do it when you take full responsibility for the reality that you're living in and the way you think, you feel, and believe inside yourself. And when you do that, you'll find ways to channel your energies, your actions, in healing, loving, and creating ways. You'll find the pathway through to the other side. You'll get a dream of what's on the other side. And in that, and we'll go into more of this in the second half, you'll be able to negotiate in your personal life tremendous changes, open to opportunities, step into more love. Many times, people do not know what they are doing. But if you judge them, what kind of response do you expect them to have? If you're empowered in not judging them, you disarm them. And you can touch them. Even if it seems to be some totally unconscious boss who seems to be totally intent on making your life miserable, you can change it all. Don't fear that you're hopelessly stuck anywhere. That's a victim attitude. You're an empowered reality creator. You're creating this to give yourself the whisper, to give yourself the reflection. Hey, look, here's where you normally give your power away. Here's where you normally fall down. What would you like to do instead? Let their harshness flow over you. It's not about you. Their crap is about them. The way they treat you, it's about them, not you. They don't know you. How can they know you and treat you that way? If they really knew you and loved you and accepted you, they couldn't treat you that way. They're doing it because they're not conscious and because they're in pain. And they have to numb out the pain. And they lose conscious awareness of what they do. And they don't want anyone to call them on it. That's not your job, is to resist. Not your job to be their parent or their teacher. But your job to hold your resonance. And when you do, and you take responsibility, you can make choices and you can change things. You're all medicine for the healing of the planet. Everything that you do ripples away from you in a healing wave. You make so much more impact than you can imagine just by your radiance, by your vibration, when you love yourself, when you empower yourself. You see, scientists have talked about the butterfly effect. That a butterfly's wings over here can create a tidal wave on the other side of the planet. Scientists are beginning to get that things are connected. Everything's connected. It only takes one to create a smooth, loving, empowering, free, and safe reality. And like a ripple effect, can go all around the planet. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, and it's interesting because my question when I was speaking it was almost entirely coming from a place of spiritual place, energetic place, about energetics, about non-corporeal entities and energies.
Mm-hmm.
I get that the entire answer applies.
Oh, yeah. There are such a thing known as astrals. We call them astrals. And they are entities on the astral plane. They do not have bodies. They are in pain. You can still have pain in the astral plane. They're in pain. They were in pain when they were physical. They like to play, and they're mischievous like naughty children. They're not responsible. So what happens is that those who have dark intentions on the planet, they will gather about one of those. So if you were to see someone who is really a high-handed manipulator, you will see a cluster of astrals around them if they're doing something with energy that's very negative. And they will, by their intention, send out these astrals to people to hurt them, to damage them. They are, in a sense, the lackeys of negatively intentioned people. Astrals will play with whatever energies are given them. They are not particular. Now, you do have astral entities who are absolutely beautiful. But you do have these, and many of these are people who have left, who are very attached to the world, saw it as real. The ghosts, you know, the ones who didn't resolve whatever it was. The shame is still there. And this is what is called by others the hell worlds, or hell. Hell is in a section of the lower astral. There are seven planes of the astral plane, the seven subplanes. And the lowest subplane is what is called hell. And when you leave the physical, you move right through there on up to whatever frequency level you're in aligned to. Your frequency level as a spiritual adult is not going to be aligned to the astral at all. It'll probably go into the causal plane, which is frequency is higher than the astral, or into the supercausal. At death, you'll go to the frequency level at which you are at the time of your passing. Some of these beings at the time of their passing are in really dark, painful, angry, rageful, powerless states. If you hold rage, powerlessness, terror, dark shame forces on yourself, then you attract them. If you have negative intentions towards others, you want to punish or manipulate or hurt others. You hate a certain, let's say you're a public figure and you hate certain groups. And you spread hate. Astrals are going to find you very friendly. They're going to be with you. But it only takes one person to turn it around. And it might be you. Are you ready to turn it around?
Absolutely.
All right, dear one. And that's what we're going to talk about. How to do that. Later in this workshop. But for now, we're going to take a short break. And after the short break, we're going to do a meditative experience. We're going to take you on a journey. And on this journey, we're going to take you to the state of the adult and give you the opportunity to experience what it's like to be in your adult, to get the frequencies of it, to get the energies of it. Because it's from there that you do everything. It's from there all actions come. It's from there all perspectives are held. It's from there your assessor gives you the awareness of yourself. It's a critical place to be if you're going to make changes in your world. And enjoy them and celebrate them and share them with others. All right, so a short break, and then a journey. Farewell.